are beginning a new series today entitled Unscripted. You know, one of the things about life and a very interesting truth that I learned a long time ago is that if you don't plan your day, if you don't plan your time, if you don't plan your life, everyone else will plan it for you. Everyone has a desire and a design on your life and how they think you should live. Sometimes it's out of really a well-meaning desire. Sometimes it's, you know, a parent, a spouse that wants good for you, and so therefore they want you to kind of direct you in a certain way. Sometimes it's out of a negative desire about somebody to use and manipulate you. But in reality, if you don't have a plan for your life, and if you're not willing to do what God's called you to do and stick to that plan, then everybody in your life is going to have their hooks, if you will, in you to attempt to get you to do and to be what they want you to do and to be so that it works out for their benefit, not necessarily for your benefit. And so as we talked about this series and trying to figure out what we would name it, you know, we kind of went back to that idea that everyone has a script. You know, everyone has a play, everyone has a performance that they have typed out in their brain for you. And what's funny is we never really think about it until it kind of unveils itself and we see these people trying to use us in certain ways. And so we went with that idea of unscripted, breaking away from predictable and what everyone else assumes and wants us to be. And I tell you what, this may be one of my favorite stage designs that our creative team has ever done. How cool is that, huh? Now let me just tell you, that's literally every one of those pieces of paper was put up there by someone. So I don't know how many pieces of paper there is, but I was told by one of the guys that was on the video shoot there with that it took him like forever to pick up those paper after AJ threw it all over the place. But anyways, I just love that thought process. If you put that in your mind, that, you know, everyone has a script for your life. The question is it the script that God has for your life? Is it the plan that God has for you? And the reality is, over the next several weeks, we're going to tell you and talk to you from truths of the Word of God to how to make sure to, sometimes in a negative, like we're talking about today, how to not do what a lot of people want you to do, but yet how to be and do what God's called you to be and do. And so really want to begin with, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, our job, our duty, our responsibility is to become more and more like Christ every single day. That's our responsibility. That's what we're supposed to do. So if that's the case, then we need to model ourselves in this particular area after Jesus Christ. And so what we're going to talk about today is achieving the ability to say no. Now, I just want to begin really, really quickly. So I'm going to just give you an opportunity right at the beginning to say no. Now, if you sit there and you go, well, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say no to saying no. Okay, just, you know, grow up. But here's what we're going to do. Just going to give you an opportunity. So I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, you just as loud and think about that person that's always asking you to do things. Just say no. Okay, here we go. Ready? One, two, three.
No.
Now don't be looking at your spouse and go, no, okay? That's bad. That's not what God's called us to do. But you know what's interesting is that we look at the life of Jesus Christ. He lived 33 and a half years, yet he made a profound impact on our world. He didn't live a long life. He never wrote a book. He never sat down for a portrait. He never did anything. In fact, really his entire life, if it weren't for the Word of God, we wouldn't know anything about him. But yet, he made such a profound difference. And I want to just read this little thought to you this way. Jesus was never in a hurry. He rarely did what was expected and often didn't do what people wanted. Yet, he is the most influential person in human history. In fact, our dates for our calendar are literally marked with his birth. AD means the year of our Lord. Anno Domini means the year of our Lord. In other words, it starts roughly with his birth. The two biggest holidays on our calendar, Easter and Christmas, some would argue Halloween, but you know, Easter and Christmas, you know, are celebrate his birth and his death and his resurrection. I mean, he literally is the most influential person in history, yet oftentimes he said no and was unwilling to do what everyone else wanted him to do and unwilling to be what everyone else wanted him to be. And yet he made a profound impact. See, in some way, shape, or form, in somewhere in our lives, we came up with this concept, this idea that if we were going to make an influence, if we were going to make an impact on people, if we were going to be liked and loved and all of these things, we have to say yes to as much and as many things as possible. But let me give you the big idea for today. I always like giving you something that if you, you know, forget everything else, you can hang your hat on and remember this. And here's the big idea. The big idea is this. To become a person of influence, to become a person of influence and impact, to become a person of influence and impact, you need to learn how to say no. To become a person of influence and impact, you need to learn how to say no. Now, this no is very important. This no needs to be tempered with grace, right? Because we're supposed to speak the truth in love. It needs to be tempered with grace. It needs to also be balanced out with what the Bible teaches us about considering others and making them and their needs equal to, if not more important than, our own needs. And so this is a balanced no. I know some of you, you know, may go, man, I'm the no Nazi. I say no to everyone and anything. That's probably not what God's called you to do. I'm just going to be very honest with you. You go, well, Jesus said no. Yes, Jesus did say no. And Jesus lived his life on mission, on purpose, for a reason, to accomplish things. But even in the midst of that, and I want you to think about this. If you know your Bible, you'll understand this. If you don't know your Bible really well, let me give you the context. Jesus Christ had just begun his earthly ministry. He just began to teach and preach. He had just begun to call some of his disciples. And a member of his family or somebody that was close to their family was getting married. And so Jesus and his disciples and his mother Mary went to this wedding. And they ran out of wine at the wedding. And we don't live in that culture, but bottom line is if you ran out of anything, because the wedding feast would last for 2-3 days. And if you ran out of anything during that time, it would be a huge embarrassment to you and your family. And that's not how you want to begin your marriage. And so Mary, the mother of Jesus, finds out about it and comes to Jesus and says, listen, they have run out of wine. And I love Jesus' response. I'm going to put it in modern day English. Yeah, that's not my problem. That's not, you know, my time is not yet come, is his response. In other words, no, this doesn't fit perfectly within my plan and what my goal is here. And it's funny because Mary, it's not recorded in the Bible that Mary says anything, but moms, you know. You don't have to say anything. You just be like, right? And it wasn't that Jesus didn't know. It wasn't that Mary has some power over Jesus or some crazy thing like that. It's just that it was like, hey, Jesus, you got to understand the situation here. You know what's going on. They're just going to be embarrassed. And so for whatever, I don't know if Jesus kind of went, kind of smiled. And then the next thing is we see Mary calling the servants over and going, do whatever he tells you to do. And so Jesus goes over and he does the water, my favorite miracle in the whole wide world. He turns the water into wine, gives it to the people, and they're like, this is the greatest stuff ever. This is so amazing. This is so awesome. This was not a part of the big picture, if you will. It wasn't. Jesus said, my time has not yet come. We know that he doesn't lie, right? But yet, because of the situation, because of how it was going to impact and affect negatively some people that were around him, he still, even though his first desire, if you will, was to say, no, that's not necessarily something, he did it anyways. So this no that we're talking about is not this, you know, I'm going to wear a t-shirt that just says, hey, say no. If you don't want to read that, understand this. Go back to number one, say no. But yet our lives are to be filled with the passion and the purpose of God's mission for our life. And sometimes that means we need to say no to some good things so that we can achieve the best things. So I want to give you, I usually like to stay really positive as far as how we do these points, but I think it's so important for us to understand from kind of a negative consequences. If we don't do this, if we don't learn how to say no, there will be 5 unavoidable, probably more, but at least 5 unavoidable consequences to learning how not to say no. If we don't learn it, there are going to be these 5 things we're going to talk about this morning that are going to take place in your life. They're going to be negative. We're going to look at an instance in each of Jesus Christ's life and how that happened. But if we do not learn to say no, we will not be an influential and impactful person. We will be inconsequential and we'll have no impact whatsoever. So here's the first thing. First unavoidable consequence, other people's problems will eclipse your priorities. Other people's problems will eclipse your priorities. One of my favorite sayings, you probably know exactly what it is. One of my favorite sayings is, your lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. You ever heard that? You know what that means? If you don't do your part, if you don't do your business, and all of a sudden everything starts to fall apart, don't come running to me to fix it. Because I've already worked on my part, and I've already done what I'm supposed to do, and I've already worked through all these things, and don't come running and, you know, I don't know how many times, you know, I've had somebody come running up to me and go, I need to sit down and meet with you because da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, well, how long has this been an issue? 3 years. And I'm like, 3 years. Okay, well, that can wait 2 more days. Right? Because you haven't thought it through. You've not worked through it. You've not processed it. And a lot of times the emergencies that are around the people around us are not truly emergencies. They're simply urgencies because they did not do what they needed to do. And so I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real, legitimate problems that are in people's lives as well. So that, you should already be able to say no to. And if you don't, let me just, again, no. It's a simple word. Your child learned it before they were 2 years old, okay? So they know. No, it's an easy thing to do. I know it's hard, but you need to say it, especially when it's the tyranny of the urgent, because the tyranny of the urgent robs you of doing that which is effective and important in your life. But I'm talking about even real, legitimate problems that people might have around you, and they're significant and they're essential to their lives and their walk, and you go, man, I want to help them, but there are times when you may need to say no even to that, and you go, I don't know that I can. Jesus did. Look at this. John chapter 11, verse 4. In fact, you want to, give me the context here. Jesus had a couple of friends. They were two sisters and a brother, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And word comes to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. Now, this is far enough into Jesus' ministry. He has healed the sick. He has, you know, cast out demons. He's done all sorts of miraculous things. And so the reason that Jesus is hearing about Lazarus is, your friend Lazarus is sick. Come heal him. That's what it is. That's what he's hearing. Come heal him. Now, obviously, this is a real legitimate problem, is it not? Can we agree that this is a real, you can say yes. It's okay to say yes on a Sunday we're talking about saying no. But this is a real legitimate problem, isn't it? Yes, okay. So let's see what Jesus' response is, because Jesus loves him, right? He cares for him. He feels empathy for him, certainly because he's God. He's Jesus. He has all these things. But Jesus' response, John chapter 11, verse 4, but when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Now you go, if you know the story, you go, no. It did end in death. He died. And Jesus didn't show up till 3 days later. He was, you know, as Mary said, Lord, he stinketh. That's King James Version. But yeah, that's what she said. And so he shows up 3 days later, and so everyone's like, where were you? And the response is that, hey, listen, this happened because I am now going to reveal God's glory through this. And he ended up raising Lazarus back from the dead, which people said, no, that's not even possible. Only God can do that. Jesus is like, uh-huh. But can you imagine what people said about Jesus when he said, no? Well, Jesus, you can heal him. I know, but no, I'm not going to. Well, Jesus, if we go right now, we can probably get there before. I know. God's got a bigger plan in place. I've got to do what I've got to do. Can you imagine how people responded when Jesus said no to a legitimate problem? But Jesus' priorities were bigger than that. Now, they didn't understand it, did they? Now, we look back and we go, well, he's going to raise him from the dead. It's no big deal. People didn't complain or, no. Oh, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Well, he didn't show up when he was sick. He didn't show up and show his kindness and his grace. He didn't show up, and he said he was our friend, and now he's dead. In fact, we see in the story, we see in the narrative that Mary and Martha both come out to meet him, and they both say the same thing, Lord, if you had been here, if you'd have shown up, if you'd not said no, he would not have died. Now, Jesus said no because there was a bigger picture in play. There was a bigger plan. God had more things in store than just healing Lazarus. But you know what? There are some times in our life where our priorities and the things that God has for us to do means we have to say no to things that seem very, very important. And that's where it gets hard, isn't it? That's where it gets tough. That's where when somebody comes to you and you know in your spirit that you have to say no, that your stomach begins to get upset, right? Anyone ever been there before? I have. But here's the thing. Here's what you have to remember. God has a plan for your life just like he has a plan for their life. And God is the one that ultimately makes the outcome become what he wants it to be. And can you imagine the difference? The celebration, for sure. If Jesus had come back and healed Lazarus, the celebration was great and wonderful. But how much bigger and how much more of an impact did Jesus make when he healed Lazarus, raising him from the dead? God's always got a bigger plan. You just have to stick to the priorities that God has for your life. Sometimes it means you need to say no. But if you don't, then their problems will always eclipse your priorities, and you will not be able to become the person that God's called you to. The second consequence is that those we barely know will steal time from those we know and love. Those we barely know will steal time from those we know and love. Now, you can insert family, you can insert close friends, whatever the case may be. But if you are unwilling or unable, it's unwilling. If you're unwilling to say no, then the people who barely know you will dominate your time. Because they'll use you, manipulate you, abuse you. And then what happens is the people that you know and love, that you're supposed to be spending time with, they're going to be the ones that suffer. Your family, your close friends, those are going to be the ones that suffer. And we look at a point in Jesus' life where he wouldn't allow that to happen. Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. And Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake. In other words, there's been a huge crowd. He'd done this huge teaching. And he gets away from all of these people. But what's interesting is that a large crowd from Galilee followed. They're like, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? You know, they're kind of like the lemmings. They're all just following each other, looking for Jesus, because Jesus gave them bread and Jesus gave them water and Jesus made, this is so great. And Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And they all are wanting his time. But Jesus says, listen, I have to get away with my disciples because I have a bigger priority here. I've got to train these guys because I know what's going to happen when I leave. They're going to be left with the kingdom of God in their hands. I've got to spend time with them. But the crowd continues to come. And when they heard all about that he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. The whole area goes, Jesus is here? And watch what happens. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him, keep the people from crowding him. Now, we don't have time, but if we were to continue to read on, we would see that Jesus teaches the crowd, and then he sends his disciples off, and he goes up to the mountain, he prays for them. That's when they're caught, and he meets them walking on the water, and it's a life-changing moment for the disciples. But we see that Jesus Christ was constantly wanting to pull his disciples away, to spend time preparing them. Jesus Christ knew that it was more important for him to prepare his disciples than to please the masses. If you are a parent, I want to say this to you. This is so important. Do not miss this. If you are a parent, if you do not learn how to say no to the people around you, you will not have the time to invest in your children to help them become who they're supposed to be. And that, outside of your marriage, is your number one priority. And if you do not learn how to say no, the people you barely know, you'll steal time from the people that you know and love. The third possible consequence is this. The rest and the recovery that we need will be replaced by stress and frustration. If your schedule is chaotic, and because your schedule is chaotic, you are experiencing stress and frustration, more than likely, you are currently not saying no enough. If right now you feel like your schedule is absolutely out of control, the reality is more than likely, if you're actually trying to handle your schedule well, more than likely you are not saying no enough, or at least you're not creating the margins that are necessary. Because what happens is that it eventually bleeds to everything and everyone around you. And so because you are not resting and you're not recovering, you're not being able to recuperate, and you're not being able to be refreshed, and you're not being able to do what God's called you to do. And so you're running, you're burning the candle at both ends, you're running like crazy, you can't do what you need to do. You become sharp and you become frustrated and you become irritated with the people around you. And what happens is you become overwhelmed with all those things. Now, there are times in our lives when that happens, right? We know that. But if you are constantly living in that, it's probably because you're not saying no enough. Look at this, Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster. Jesus had healed some people. He says, listen, don't tell anybody I'm here. I want things to stay quiet for right now, okay? And they're like, okay, Jesus, can you imagine? Jesus just healed me. I mean, like 3 seconds afterwards, they leave. They start telling everybody. There wasn't even Facebook and Twitter on it, you know, at that point in time. No Instagrams and selfies of Jesus and me. It was just, I mean, it spread like crazy all over the place, and everyone heard about it, and everyone showed up, and there was crowds all over the place, and it was a constant pressure cooker, everyone wanting and asking Jesus to do something for them. And watch this. And vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus, and what's that next word? Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. You see, we read about Jesus withdrawing to the wilderness, right? Like, oh, you know, when it got really, really bad, Jesus would. No. Often, regularly, Jesus would get out of Jerusalem. He'd get out of the neighborhood. He would get out where no one could find him, and there weren't any cell phones, there weren't anything like that. He would get out and get away so that he could get the rest and the recovery that he needed. Because if he did not get the rest and the recovery that he needed, he would cease to be effective. And so he said no sometimes by not being available. There are some times in your life where you need to block out your calendar and say, I'm not available. I'm sorry, I can't do that. You go, well, that's hard. People might be upset with me. Yeah, they might be. They're adults. They'll get over it. And if they don't get over it, you probably don't need them in your life. You go, oh! Am I wrong? Well, I don't want to say yes, but... But it's true, because we have to do what God's called us to do, and if you don't do the rest and recovery, then you will simply lose your ability to be effective with what God's called you to be. Number four, our personal productivity and effectiveness will come to a grinding halt. Our personal productivity and effectiveness may come to a grinding halt. We may be helping everybody else be productive. We may be helping everyone else achieve their goals. We may be making sure and picking up all the pieces that everyone else is dropping. But yet our personal productiveness and effectiveness comes to a grinding halt. But we're helping everybody else. I want you to see this, Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 38. Jesus has just begun his ministry. The crowds are huge. People are coming in from every area. I mean, the town is just a buzz. And it's like everyone wants a piece of Jesus. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Remember, often he left. You go, well, how can I do that? Sometimes you need to get up before anyone else gets up and disappear. Like, yeah, turn your phone off. Disappear. Isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the brothers went out to find him. And the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. Jesus, everything is falling apart. You disappeared. How dare you disappear? We've got thousands of people wrapped around the house that we were staying in. They're all chanting, Jesus, Jesus. They're waiting for you. What are we going to do? And I love Jesus' response. But Jesus replied, guys, I think we've got to go to another town. Let's take off. What? Thousands of people waiting for you, Jesus. I know. Now watch this. He says, we must go to other towns as well. I will preach to them too. That is why I came. You see, when you understand your purpose and you understand your priorities, it makes it a whole lot easier to say no to other people's priorities, other people's problems. Jesus had a very clear understanding of why he came and what he was supposed to do, and he did not let that get hijacked by the needs of all the other people around him. But if you are unwilling to say no, then your personal productivity, your purpose in life, your plans, the things that God has for you to do will never be accomplished if you allow them to be hijacked by everybody else. Last one. We will no longer be able to say yes to what really matters most. We will no longer be able to say yes to what really matters most. Jesus Christ, at the very end, after the Last Supper, after the upper room, they went to the garden. Jesus prayed. The disciples kept falling asleep. And then finally, Judas shows up with all the guards getting ready to arrest him. And at some point, we know from another one of the Gospels that it's Peter. Peter pulls out a sword. And I want you to see this, verses 50 through 51. And one of them, we know is Peter, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Now, you talk about loyalty, right? I've heard preachers and Christians make fun of Peter because he betrayed Jesus, and he's the one that fell. You know, he looked at the waves when he was walking on the water. Let me put it this way. Jesus was the only disciple that was that close to Jesus while everything was happening when he was going through the process. And Jesus was the only other Peter was the only other person in the world to walk on water. And in the midst of an entire crowd of soldiers, we don't know how many there were. There could have been 20, 30, 100. We don't really know, but the Bible calls it a mob almost. Peter pulls out a sword, and he's going to take them all on for Jesus. Don't make fun of Peter. Peter may not have thought things through very well, but he was willing to die for Jesus. The Bible says he reaches out, and he cuts off his ear, which means he was probably trying to cut his head off and missed. He was a fisherman, not a swordsman. But I want you to see Jesus. Watch this. But Jesus answered, no more of this. He goes, Peter, stop. That's not the plan here. I appreciate you cutting off his ear for me. But that's not the plan. This is not where we're going. If Jesus didn't say no to that, he couldn't have continued to go to the cross to do what he knew he needed to do. And I love this. He doesn't just leave him there. He touched the man's ear, and he healed him. Peter was so bad, didn't even cut off his ear all the way. He just, left it hanging there. Hey, it's the Bible. It's what it says. There you go. It's all fixed. But you know what? Here's the thing. You've got to ask yourself, what is it that God has called you to do? What are your priorities? What's the plan that you believe God has you on? What's the end result of your life supposed to look like? How are you pursuing God with passion and energy and efficiency and all these things that he's called you to do? Because here's the thing. If you continue to say yes to everyone around you, you will begin to have to say no to God. Because here's what's happened. Here's the reason that we say yes. We are absolutely addicted to pleasing other people. We are absolutely consumed with desire to make others happy. to be seen as important and valuable and essential, and to be loved by those around us. And because of that, we say yes to them. And the more we say yes to them, the more addicted we become to that. But here's the problem. The more that you say yes to other people, the more you try to please other people, the less you can please God. And that's the only person that really matters. I guarantee you, when you stand before God at the end of time and he asks you to give an account of your life and you say, well, listen, Mary asked me to, God will look at you and say, yeah, but I asked you to. So are you telling me that Mary is more important? That Cindy is more important? That Bob or Phil is more important? Because that's what we've done. We have literally made the pleasure, the adoration, and the love of other people more important to us than the love, the adoration, and the praise of our God. And folks, we don't want to be there. We want to be able to say yes to God, to say yes to his calling on our life, to say yes to all that he's called us to be and to do. And so because of that, we have to learn how to say no. Now, I want to give you, as we close, over the years, I've had to learn how to say no. If at any point in time, you know, you just have to learn how to say no. But again, it's got to be a no tempered with grace and balanced with what we're supposed to be as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you five ways to simply say no with a smile. Now, I thought of a request. Like, what request could I use to kind of frame all five of these questions? And so I personalized it to me. And so as we go through these five, just think of the request being something like this. Hey, Dave, my family and I are going out on vacation for 10 days, and we would really like it if you would cat sit for us. So here are five ways to say no with a smile. I would love to, however, my schedule does not allow my time to do that. Now, let me tell you something. If your schedule allows the time to do that, don't say that. Don't lie to them. And don't tell them maybe or I'll think about it, because that gives false hope. If you know the answer is no, say no. Number two, thanks so much for thinking of me. As awesome as that may be, I cannot do that. Number three, I'm so sorry, but that is just not something that I can do at this point. You go, well, that's just saying no. Yes, it's saying no, but it's saying no with a smile. Number four, unfortunately, due to my other commitments, I must decline. However, give somebody else's name. Might be a perfect fit. Now, don't do this just, you know, like, so-and-so ticked me off. So, but seriously, if they ask you, you go, man, listen, that is not in my wheelhouse. You do not want me to paint something for you, okay? But I know so-and-so can do a great job. Maybe you can talk to them. Number five, thank you so much for the offer, but in an effort to honor my time with my family, I cannot take you up on it. And I tell you, this is one that especially in ministry with things that happen, all that stuff, this may be the most important one that I've used over the years, because it's so true. And for those of you that maybe you drive all over creation, maybe you're gone all week traveling all over the place, boy, this is one you need to put in your back pocket and you need to really think through, because outside of your spouse, your kids are the most important relationship that you have, and you need to make sure that you honor them, giving them what God wants you to give them. As I close this morning, I'd like to challenge you. On your worship guide in the bottom left-hand side of your connection card there, it has a response. And this morning, we've already learned, because you all did it, that we can all say no. It's not that hard to say no. But you have to look at the pros and the cons. Right, the cons are it's difficult to say no sometimes to people that you love and like and you want to, you know, please them. But the truth of the matter is if you don't say no, that means you can't say yes to something bigger, better, and it fits within what God's called you to do. So what I'd like to ask you to do is, if you would, just mark that right there and say, you know what, I'm going to say no so that I can say yes to making a difference. Because God has an unbelievable plan for your life. But until you learn to say no to things that don't fit into that, you will never become a person of influence or make an impact the way that God intends you to. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the privilege of worshiping you, for the privilege of honoring you with our efforts. And God, as we think about our lives, and maybe even think about this week, maybe there were so many times where we said yes when we knew we should have said no. And it's created such tension and such turmoil and such frustration in us. And God, I pray that this morning, as we've looked at the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he lived perfect and sinless, but yet he didn't live the way that people expected him, or even didn't do some of the things that they wanted him to do. But God, he did exactly what you wanted him to do. God, I pray that our passion would be to live our lives like Christ, pleasing you every step of the way, saying yes to your call, yes to your direction, yes to your plan, and becoming the man and the woman that you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name.